Now, I must apologise. Normally we have a PowerPoint, but I sent an email and the attachment didn't come up. And Eamon said before, well, we may not have no PowerPoint, but we do have a point. So the point we're going to look at is in John chapter 6, verses 22 to verse 40. So it's going to be really helpful for yourselves if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, look over someone's shoulder. If they don't have a Bible, then try and get one. But if you have your Bible open at John chapter 6, 22 to 40, we're going to walk through this passage. We're going to see what the Lord has to say to us. If you've ever been at an open house or have hosted one, then you will have observed young people, normally the males, making light work of the food that has been supplied. Once I was at an open house where me and one other male ate two main courses and seven helpings of dessert. This was all before 3 p.m. By 5 p.m, I was ready to go again. If you ask Nikki, she will tell you that it is hard to make me truly full. I am always hungry. We're going to look at this passage today where the Lord Jesus Christ addresses the greatest need that mankind has. A great crowd of people have just been fed by Jesus. An amazing miracle where there were 5,000 men plus women and children. They had just been fed by one boy's packed lunch consisting of 5 loaves and 2 fish. There were even leftovers, 12 baskets full. They recognised that Jesus Christ was different to normal men. A prophet maybe, in verse 14 of chapter 6 we see that. They wanted to make him king, in verse 15. So his disciples had told them to get into boats to cross the sea to Capernaum. Jesus went up to the mountain to be alone. Jesus is going to reveal to us who he is and why he came. If you want a title for this message, it's entitled Hungry? The first point that we see is in verses 22 to 34. This is entitled The Sign. Verses 22 to 34, The Sign. And this point has 4 sub-points. And the first sub-point of the sign is seeking. We find that this in verse 22 to 24. The people who have been fed by Jesus the day before are now seeking Jesus. Where has he gone? They saw the disciples go down to the sea and get into a boat. They saw Jesus retiring up the mountain for some private time alone. They wanted to see Jesus but could not find him. They were at a loss. They saw that there was no boat there, but that in which the disciples had left in. They knew that Jesus had gone with They knew that Jesus had not gone with the disciples. They decided that they must go to Capernaum to find Jesus. Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters, where he usually resided. They got into some boats that had come from Tiberias and went out to Capernaum. They came seeking Jesus. So this brings us to our second sub-point, success. We find this in verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? The people had found Jesus on the other side of the sea. Verse 59 of this chapter tells us that Jesus was in the synagogue in Capernaum. They knew that this would be the likeliest place they would find Jesus. Once they had found him, they asked him a question. Rabbi, when did you come here? We shall look at Jesus' answer to this question shortly and address the issue in the answer. But first, let us look at the last part of his answer in verse 27. God the Father has set his seal on him. Which brings us nicely to our third sub-point. Seal, in verse 27. What is this seal that Jesus is referring to? Well, when Nikki and I sent out our invitations to our wedding, Nikki thought that would be a nice touch to drip some molten wax on the back of the wedding of the envelope and put a stamp of 2 hearts on the molten wax. It's nice, isn't it? When the wax dried, It would have the seal of the two hearts impressed into the wax. Well, this was to symbolise the authenticity of the invitation from Nikki and myself. When God the Father sent his Son into the world, he gave him full authority to deal between God the Father and man. Jesus was to be God's ambassador to man and man's intercessor with God, and has proved his commission by miracles. This seal was to be a proof and evidence of the authority that Christ would have. So this brings us to our fourth sub-point of the first point, the sign, stupidity. We see this in verse 26 and verses 28 through to 34. Jesus answers their questions of how he got there with an answer they did not expect or even understand. Jesus says, "You seek me? That is well, but it is not for a good motive." Christ knew their heart. He knows not only what they would do, but why they do it. They sought Jesus for the stuff that he can give, not Jesus himself. They wanted to use Jesus to get what they wanted. They looked for Jesus not because they had full hearts, but because they had full bellies. They got a good deal, lots of food, so they decided to follow him. They were seeking Jesus because they wanted bread. They wanted Jesus to give him or them provision. Now he directs them to a better reason to seek him. Verse 27. Labour for the meat that endures to everlasting life. Jesus means here that we must not make the things of this world our chief concern, but labour for the food which endures to everlasting life. They have misunderstood Jesus. And they ask another question in verse 28. They said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answers that question by pointing to the most important thing they need to understand about the work of God. You believe in him. Without faith, you cannot please him. This faith relies upon him. It is to believe on him as the one God the Father has sent. They misunderstand Jesus again. They ask for a sign so they may see and believe him in verse 30. "What sign will you perform then that we may see and believe you? What work will you do?" They go on to quote what had happened in the wilderness with Moses and the Israelites. They say to Jesus, "You fed 5,000 men for one meal. Moses fed the people for 40 years. You do that for us." They made a mistake, and Jesus corrects them. Moses did not give them the bread from heaven. He was the instrument. God the Father gave them that bread. Jesus goes on and informs them that the manna was a type, a representative, something material and temporary, not spiritual and eternal. Jesus now says to the crowd that his Father gives the true bread from heaven, referring to a spiritual meaning, something which is everlasting. In verse 34, the people ask again for the bread. They misinterpreted Jesus' statement by taking it on a purely physical level. So what does all this have to do with a sign? What does it mean for us today? Well, in our modern world today, we have voices in our cars or on our mobile phones telling us which way to go, to take the next left, take the third exit from the roundabout. Even with our sat-nav, we can miss the sign pointing to the place we are intending to go. We drive past it. The sign is not the place. It points us to the place we are going. The miracles that Jesus had performed prior to this conversation, the nobleman's son healed, in chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. A man healed at the pool of Bethsaida, chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. A healing power of those who had diseases chapter 6, verse 2. And the feeding of the 5,000, chapter 6, 1 to 14, identifies Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He is the one who gives everlasting life. He finally reveals himself to the people as the one who was sent from heaven by his Father to give everlasting bread, salvation. Don't miss the sign. This morning, friends, this evening, friends, Jesus is the one who gives everlasting life, who satisfies the need of your soul. The people see the miracle of the bread and the fish, eat the food, and stand in front of Jesus and still miss the point. It identified who Jesus was. The sign was the point to Jesus. Jesus, in verse 26, tells us not to labour for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures the everlasting life. You may be seeking all that this world has to offer, wealth, honour, pleasure, and status. These are the things that will perish. They may fill you up for a moment, but your soul will not be satisfied. You will long for something more. You are seeking after physical satisfaction. Jesus tells you that you need spiritual fulfillment. Don't be proud and stubborn and miss who Jesus is. He is the one who satisfies your spiritual desire, your first need. So this nicely brings us on to our second point, satisfaction. We find this in verses 35 to 37. Satisfaction, the second point. Reading from verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Jesus now declares himself as the one who is the bread of life, in verse 35 and in verse 33 as well. He came down from heaven to give life. And again, in verse 48, he says that he is the bread of life. Jesus is the one who provides eternal life. It is by faith that we can have this eternal life, this everlasting satisfaction. Jesus repeatedly tells them to believe in him in verse 29, 35, 36, and verse 40. Believe in him. The only way we can eat of this bread of life is by faith. We are called to believe, but it is not something that you can do by your own decision. The Father is the one who draws you to Jesus. You need God's help because you are a powerless sinner. It is when you realise that there is nothing you can do to get this bread of life, and you need God's help because you are a powerless sinner. This is the crisis point. When you're brought to the position when you recognise there is nothing you can do to contribute to your own salvation, that you don't have the power to make the decision about trusting in Jesus Christ, unless it is by God's grace that you are able to eat and drink and be satisfied. The Father works in your heart and opens up your eyes, and you can come to Jesus and you can trust in him. Then you are able to eat and drink and be totally satisfied. Further on in this chapter, Simon Peter says to Jesus, where else do I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. That's found in verse 68. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, where are you looking for lasting satisfaction? Is it exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ? Christian brother and sister, Christ is the eternal bread to the soul. That bread is to the body. He nourishes and supports our spiritual life just like the bread does to our body. He is our peace, our righteousness, our Redeemer. Do not seek after the things that will perish. Every material thing you now have you now see or have in your home are marked for the fire. Tom and Ruth and Hannah was moving yesterday. They had boxes. They were marked, front living room, books, kitchen, so on and so forth. The things that are in this world are marked for the fire. They will perish. Do not labour for the things that will perish. Labour for Jesus Christ. Labour for everlasting satisfaction. So we now come to our third point in verses 38 to 40. Sovereignty. Sovereignty. In these final verses we shall consider this evening, Jesus now shows us what his reason was from coming down from heaven. He speaks plainly now and without metaphor. He assures those who believe in him, those who have saving faith, that he has come to do his Father's business and not his own will. In verse 38, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came from heaven, from glory, and came into this sinful world. The will of the Son and the will of the Father agree. There is no competition or disagreement. Jesus' submission to the Father shows this agreement. Jesus Christ didn't come as a private person to do things for himself, but he came to act for others as an ambassador. We see the private instructions that Jesus receives from God in verse 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up on the last day. Jesus is entrusted with all those that the Father has given him, and he should not lose one. There is a certain number of children of men given by the Father to Jesus Christ, to be in his care, given him for an inheritance, for a possession. Jesus will do all that for them for which their case requires. He will teach them and heal them, pay their debt and plead their cause, prepare them for and preserve them to eternal life, and then let them make his best of them. Those whom God the Father chose to be objects of his special love, he lodged as a trust in the hands of Christ. Jesus will not lose any of those who has been given to him by his Father. Here we also see the work of the Holy Spirit. Who would think that we see the Trinity in action in this one verse, in verse 39? This verse also takes us to Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. God declares the eternal security of his people. This is also known as the perseverance of the saints. Perseverance means continued adherence to a belief despite encouragement and opposition. The reason that believers persevere in faith and obedience, however, is not that of their own strength and of their own commitment, but Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, preserves them. Jesus Christ is on the promise to his Father back in John chapter 6, verses 37 to 40. And also to his people directly in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. He will keep them so that they should never perish. The regenerate may backslide and fall into sin. In doing so, they oppose their own nature. The Holy Spirit shall convict them of their sin and compel them to repent and to be restored to righteousness. Christ's undertaking for those that are given to him extends to the resurrection of their bodies. I will raise it up again on the last day, which supposes that all goes before, but this is to the crown and complete the undertaking. The body is a part of the man, and therefore a part of Christ's purchase and charge. It pertains to the promises, and therefore it shall not be lost. The undertaking is not only that he shall lose none, no person, but he shall lose nothing, no part of that person, and therefore not the body. Christ's undertaking will never be accomplished till the resurrection, when the souls and the bodies of the saints shall be reunited and gathered to Christ, that he may present them to his Father. The spring and origin of all this is the sovereign will of God, the counsels of his will, according to which he works all this. This was the commandment he gave to his Son when he sent him into the world. Verse 40 now. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We see the covenant grace between God and man. This is the will, the revealed will of him that sent me, the method agreed upon which to proceed with the children of men, that everyone, Jew or Gentile, Gentile meaning us, that sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up. This is gospel indeed, good news. Everlasting life is sure to all those who believe on him. Believe in Christ, and to them only. He that sees the Son and believes on him shall be saved. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, in order to have their everlasting life, shall be raised up by his power at the last day. He had it charged as his Father's will in verse 39, and here he solemnly makes it his own undertaking, I will raise him up, which signifies not only a return of the body to life, but a putting of the whole man into a full possession of the eternal life promised. So in conclusion, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the bread of life. He shall satisfy your hunger pains of your soul. Believe on him, and he will not cast you out. He will not reject you. You will be completely satisfied by him. He has promised to his Father that he will one day come back and claim you as one of his children. And in the meantime, you shall not be lost. When he comes back, he will raise you up, and you will be with him forever. Praise God. Amen.